That is correct.
Psik Reishi as light. How can you date, when did Psik Reishi first emerge? And how do you know that? This is not, that sometimes your argument is one from silence. If the first one to mention a concept is Rava, you could say, well, Rava was the one who invented the concept, or Rava is just repeating a concept that came earlier. But in this case, there's a little more evidence to suggest, in fact, that you can really be sure it dates to Baya and Rava, because not guaranteed, this is not an absolute raya either, but it certainly points that way, yes. Yeah, Abaye, the Gemara in Shabbos says that Abaye did not hold of it. The Gemara, and then it says that but Abaye did hold of it. Abaye Rava Dami Tavayu Modar of Shim Sikre Shavalayamus. And the answer the Gemara is Basa the Shame Mirava Sriolai. Meaning once after he heard it from Rava, he said, that's good. So Abaye was Modala MS and he accepted Rava's Svara. Okay. Fine. Now one sugya as background before stepping in, it really was sort of the last thing. I think we spoke about this a little bit, but I finally did find the other source. And the Mishonim was the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Chaf Hey. The Gemara, the sugya of Hana Habala Adam Bal Karcho. It's a very interesting sugya. What is Hana Habala Adam Bal Karcho? So, well, I think you take this to mean a fellow is walking to shul on Pesach, and he passes by the bakery, and the chametz smells really good. Is that mutter? The pastor says, if it's a non-Jewish bakery, it's mutter. I'm sorry? What? No, I'm not talking mutter and also here. There's no, you're not, clearly you're not chayiv malchus akaris, there's no losa say malchus, or there's no, Hano, is there an isna? I don't know if you don't get the read of the Rambam Paskin. I don't think you don't get Malkus on the Hano of Chametz. You only get Malkus on the Achila. So let's just talk about Mutter or Aser. So is it Mutter to smell Chametz on Pesach? Pastor says if it's a Goyis, I don't remember. It's maybe Machlokas. I don't remember if we Paskin a Chametz Shul Goyis is Mutter Bahano. I think we Paskin that way. Chametz Shul Goyis Mutter Bahano even on Pesach. Now, if that's the case, of course, Rashi writes, I think, there's a funny Rashi, it's Moti from Bachila. There's only one little problem, that when you eat it and chew it up, it becomes yours. There's a whole discussion about that in the Mishonim. But okay, so let's assume that the Chametz is Moti. So assume it's a Jew's bakery. It's a Jewish bakery, so not from, so it's a Jewish bakery, and you pass by, and you're going to smell very good Chametz. So what's the din? So the whole sugya there of Hanah, Balam, Mabakrocho, whether it's Efshar v'kamachavein, E'efshar v'kamachavein, Efshar v'lo kamachavein, E'efshar v'lo kamachavein, and what is the din? And the whole question within Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Two interesting elements emerge from that sugya. The first, which is relevant to the larger Davar Sheni Miskavim Psik Reisha piece, is it sounds from the Gemara, does that Gemara sound like, I mean, I filled in the Metzias. The Gemara just says, Hana Habala Adam Bal Karcho, and then speaks about Efshar, Alo Efshar, Mechavein, Velo Kamechavein. So you tell me, is that Gemara Davar Sheni Miskavein, or is that Gemara Psik Reisha? When you read the Gemara, Kipshuta. Okay, we have two opinions. David, sounds like it's a Psik Reisha. Sounds like Hanal, Balam, Pal Karcho. Right? It doesn't sound like maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. It means I want to walk on this path. I walk on this path, I am going to get certain Hana, I'm going to smell it, whatever it is. The Gemara is giving an example, although the sugi is called Reach Humara. I am going to get Hana. So the question is, why is the Psik Reish okay here? What's the Hava mean? If Abai and Rabbi Shimon, if Abai and Rabbi Moda, Dami Tavai and Moda, Rabbi Shimon, Psik Reish of Eloyamos, and that's within Rabbi Shimon, the Kabbalah Homer, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a regular Dami Shimon is Kamein is Aser. So what's the Havamina that any of these things would be mutter? The Gemara has two lashonos, but bottom line, everything should be usher according to everybody. It's a very simple conclusion to the sugya. So the Balei HaTosos write, and that was Tosos Dibar Chafchayim Adbeis, Tosos writes in the middle of the Tosos, Umayri Kigilim V'lo Hav Ipsik Reisha. It's a case where it's not Ipsik Reisha. Gemara doesn't sound like that. The Gemara doesn't sound like that at all. There is a Ran There's a run in Perakit Anosha that Chaim quotes. The run says that no, it is a psik ratio, but it's because it's talking about Isra Hana, it's different. Then, even there, there's no distinction between Davashena Miskav and psik ratio. And if you hold that Davashena Miskav is mutter, then psik ratio is mutter as well. Anyone want to suggest as to why there might be such a chiluk? From a logical perspective, why should we say that psik ratio matters by regular cases, but not by Hana'a? So why should a ma'isa matter?
Because
so before you answer the question, let's talk about the more important point that emerges from that sugya. That what is the nekudas amachlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon by Davar Sheni Miskavim? What does it really boil down to? I think we spoke about this before Yom Tov. What is the key element? Now that's what the Gemara goes through the possibilities, but what is it that points to, Ayol? Whether you really miskaven or not. The way the Gemara formulates it is Eina miskaven ke miskaven dami or lav ke miskaven dami. Now the truth is, within Abaye Shita, it seemed that Kavana might have been irrelevant for Rabbi Yehuda, because Abaye allowed for the possibility that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even when you're mechaven, it's mutter. If it's Iefshar. Iefshar become mechaven. So if it's Iefshar, doesn't matter that you miskaven. But Rava, if I believe it's Rava, rejects that and says no. Says that he only says it l'chomer, not l'kula. So the way we explain that was, we explained that we did Noel Sabayis of Anitza Tzvi Shomer B'Selcho. We explained that the whole machlokas, according to Rava, it's not that he's machmer, he's mesupach, so he's machmer but not mekel. No. The whole point for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is a question of determining a person's kavana. When a person is mechavein, all bets are off. It's clear, it's aser. When a person is not miskaven, but he either may or automatically will achieve the hana, perform the act, so then already we get into a discussion, well, maybe perhaps, even though he's not miskaven, it's still, since he knows it's going to happen, or since he knows it may happen, it's as if he wasn't miskaven. Because otherwise, perhaps, if he wasn't miskaven for the Isser, then what would he have done? He would not have done it. Right? If you're not miskaven,
you get a different path to walk the shul.
Right. So that, and that's why Efshar versus Efshar becomes so important. Is the fact that you do something, mm-hmm. Is perhaps an indication, Ayo.
This one is like the complete opposite of the Shittek Gorman Rashi that we saw.
I think I may have alluded to this fact. That there Efshar defines the act as one that. And that's a very different view of psik ratio. There, Efshar and Efshar, you know, Ofan Acher, defines whether the act is inherently a psik ratio. Yes. How does that fit with the sugya? Very difficult. You know, but the same thing is true also, I pointed out, with the Gemara the Gemara in Shabbos is also the reverse of the sugya, you know? The Gemara thought it's better when it's too heavy and it's Efshar Ofan Acher. Right? That's true, but assuming for the moment it does, in the way that Rishonim are reading it, you're assuming. I mean, that might not have been a malacha, but what we said would be an issue of Mezuz Afar. No, but still the issue of Efshar and Efshar is still the same. Even if you argue it's nothing to do with malacha and Psik Reisha, but it's about Mezuz Afar Mimkomo, still you can talk about Efshar and Lo Efshar. You know whether or not you intend to be Mezuz Afar, not Mezuz Afar. So the Gemara there thought. The Gemara thought like him Sahamotha, right? That was also against the Shilti Gemara. The Gemara thought when you don't have a choice, then your actions aren't necessarily an indicator of intent. So one could suggest along those lines, obviously it's a step removed, is that when you're talking about Hana'a versus a Maisa and a Malacha or something of that nature, so because Hana'a is passive, you know, when you do something and A results in B, whether it be Davar Sheni Miskaven, not a psik ratio, whether it be even a psik ratio, so it's easy to say, well, you did X, and that shows that you wanted Y. When it comes to something that's completely passive, one could see the argument that since you're not actually doing anything, it's easier to argue, if you're not Miskaven, that you're really not Miskaven. When it's something that you do, then it's more difficult to argue that you weren't Miskaven, since you knew it either would be or could be a ramification of your action. That's the only thing I can suggest for the run.
I mean, I would think that if it's something that you can derive benefit from, then it would be almost impossible to say in a miskaven. Because if you derive benefit from it somewhere deep down, you really, really want to...
That, in effect, is the argument we use by Misasek b'chalav and varayos chayav shekeinena. I mean, there's a very famous Gemara in Krasus, and I think it's quoted elsewhere, that even though by Shabbos, and it's the Machlokes HaRishonim, whether this applies by Shari Surim, but let's assume for the Balei Tosfos that in principle Misasek applies b'chal Torah Kula, and the exceptions to the rule are Misasek and Chalavim. Why? Shekeinena. So what does that mean? So one of the approaches to say... What's that? What did I just say?
Misasek and
Chalavim v'arayos is chayiv shekeinene. So one of the obvious suggestions is that on a subliminal level that there ain't no such thing. You know, that the Hanoah is so powerful, particularly those perhaps the two most powerful human drives, and therefore when a person does it, even though it's misasek, he's really not misasek.
But the run doesn't fall.
He says the opposite, in effect. He says by Hanoah Psik Reishis Mutter. I'm suggesting as to, you know, why that should be. But
you mean to say this is a different kind of
Hanoah
because it's so non-material?
Let me put it this way. The Hanoah that I'm giving the example of, only based, the Gemara doesn't say what Hanoah, but yes, I think Reach is not quite... I mean, that's a general, can be a larger discussion what constitutes Hanoah, but Reach is not quite the same. Just as when it comes to Yom Kippur, you know, we say, you know, see, the other physical hanos aren't treated the same way as achila is, right? Although, in the truth, in that case, tashmish also is not treated the way achila is, so that's not a raya. Okay, anyway.
Hana is such a subjective thing. You can't say what's going to be a psik ratio. It's not going to be a psik ratio.
No, but when you walk in a certain path, right, it's kemat efsha, you're not going to, you know you're going to smell it. I mean, if you hate the smell, that's not hana anymore. But we're assuming a situation. I think that in the case of Hana Bal and Bakarcho means if you're about to enter a scenario or engage in you're about to pass through a situation in which you are likely or definitely going to get Hana. Right? But the more important point that I'm interested in, Chaim quotes that sugya, is the issue of what the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda is about. It's really about whether or not an action A which can lead to B, since you know B can happen, or perhaps even you know B will happen, whether that means you are miskaven for B as well. What do you miskaven for B as well? Right. I suspect in American law, I don't know. You have to ask the lawyers. But if I decided I wanted to dump my garbage onto the street, and there also happen to be people who pass walking by, and I kill someone throwing something out the window, that if you tell the judge, well, I was only miskaven to throw my garbage at them and not to kill somebody, so that's not a defense, right? Why? Because you know when you perform A, then B can happen as well. In fact, B often does happen as well. So you don't say, obviously that's a crime one way or the other, but we wouldn't say that that's unintentional. I don't think you get charged with unintentional homicide. I think you get charged with intentional murder, right? The fact that you weren't...
Well, there has to be called manslaughter. Or
that would be just manslaughter.
Not if you threw your cement, you know, your cement, your cement block out the window in a passing street.
That's criminal language.
What's that?
Lack of specific intent means that it's going to be
negligence. Would you like to see whether that would really happen? Again, don't try this at home.
Ask a lawyer.
Ask a lawyer. But if someone did something, where it's clear his intent was to throw the garbage at the window, but he did something in such a negligent fashion that, you know, A, always leads to B, or A, likely leads to B, see whether or not he'd be charged with intentional homicide or unintentional homicide. I don't know, but it would be an interesting case to test. But that, in effect, is what Rabbi Shimon, the Machlokes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda seems to boil down to, according to the Gemara. And it would have appeared, according to Abaye and Rava's assertion, although this may not be true, they say that Mode Rabbi Shimon B'Psik Reishav El Yamas. Why? What does that mean? That could mean, on the surface, what would you say that means? If Rabbi Shimon is Mode B'Psik Reishav, what does that mean?
If you agree with you, you do have Kavana.
When?
By B'Psik Reishav.
Meaning, when you know something might happen, so you can say that kemiskafein dami. When you know that something will happen, that's kemiskafein dami. Now, if that's true, if that formulation is true, what would Rabbi Shimon hold by psik reisha don lichalei? Yeah. The way I just formulated, he would say that psik reisha don lichalei is also. That's kemiskafein dami. Doesn't matter whether you want the result or not, whether it's nichalei or lo nichalei or lo ichbaslei, but the way I just formulated, if you know it's going to happen, that means you're miskaving for that action, whether you like it or don't like it. So that would mean that psik reisha don lichalei is aser. And it presumably chayiv as well. But you know that that's probably not so, Michael.
So in that formulation, what you're doing is you're saying that the issue of Kavana doesn't even come into play. You're not saying that the issue of Kavana doesn't come into play. You're saying that you don't get to say, I didn't have Kavana in this consideration.
Yes. Then, as we say, you did have Kavana. You knew it was going to happen. Right? And Rabbi Huda, in a regular Davar Shemus Kavana, says, you knew it could happen.
So we're equating, so in that formulation, you'd be equating certain knowledge with Kavana.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, what is the base? So we turn our attention to Psik Reisha D'lo Nichalei. So there is a machlokas, the Balei Tosis and the Aruch, whether Psik Reisha D'lo Nichalei is Potter or Mutter. But the Gemara on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph says that if you're locate, what was the malacha there? You turn for a quick second there. Tolei Shulshan. End eyes. Mara. There you go. Tolei Shulshan. Ramazari Zvadam Rachiba Kugageris and Lahima Kimel Piagdi. In Mahesa Kidelavasha Bitakal and Yapas is a karka kosher. The Gemara asks a question. Atu kulu lo liyapas is a karka nehu. Whatever you malakate asavim, even if your interest is in feeding your animal, you still are miyapa the karka. You still clean up the ground. You're still weeding the ground, if you like. So why does it matter? Why do you say you need a shear kamelo pihagdi if the shear for being miyapa the karka is kolshehu? By the way, this is the same question that comes up earlier. Hazomer v'tzarach la'etzim chayiv shtayim. If I prune a tree, and why do you prune a tree? What malach is that?
Is it kutzer and zoreya also?
Well, zoreya, because pruning a tree means you want the other branches to grow. And then you also need the etzim, so that could be kutzer as well. So the question is, and if you're zomer v'ein tzarach la'etzim, let's say you're not interested in the wood, it's useless wood, but it will help the tree grow. So what's the din then? So you have only one. The Zoreya. So let me ask you a question. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how many chatas are you chayav in that case? Now, what question am I asking?
Is it miskavin or not?
No. Forget that we're saying miskavin. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha sheina tzricha legufa chayav alaha. So let's say I'm not interested in the wood. But tell me something. When I cut the wood, is that malacha of kotzer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So who cares if I don't need the wood? So it's ein tzricha legufa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, should be chayav shtayim. Even a zomer of ein tzarach leitzim. So you could have said that it's only alibi the Rabbi Shimon. Alibi the Rabbi Yehuda ein echnami chayav shtayim. But Tosa says, no. Tosa says, it's a very important Tosa. Tosa says, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you chayav one. Why? Turn back to that Tosa for a brief second. I didn't ask you to look at the Tosa, so you're seeing it for the first time. I'm Gimel Amud Beis. Sorry if I said I'm Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm Gimel Amud Beis, Tiber Hamaschil, Bitzarech Le'etzim. Tosa writes, It's an unbelievable statement. It's not called kotzer unless you need the etzim. Wow. Now, what's the problem with Tosfos Terence?
Because that's exactly the definition of
that. Yeah, I could say that about everything. Okay. I'm tzad a behema, but I don't really need a behema. I just don't want it getting in the way. So that's not really called tzedah. No, that's a malach shein tzricha legufa. Every malach shein tzricha legufa, you could say that. So why, Tosfos just gives a parallel example. He says, immediately the habak koreal manas lispar, Umenochek amanas lichtov. And that's an astounding statement. The claim is made that according to Rabbi Yehuda, kotzer has to be almanas, that you need the products. You could say that for every malacha. How do you know that? So, the answer is, and this is just a brisker reformulation of the question, is that sometimes the intent is part of the definition of the malacha. How do you know when? Now, I'm going to go a step further. One could argue, not clear, is it possible also that the shear is part of the definition of the malacha? Meaning, or the intent dictates the shear. Meaning, according, in other words, any time you have two... this is what the Gemara is grappling with here. Any time you have a malacha that, when done for one purpose, requires shear X, and when done for a different purpose, requires shear 2X, you have to ask the question, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha shenetzucha legufas chayv aleha, as soon as you did the shear of X, even if your intent is for the other purpose, which requires a shear of 2X, right? If you learn the Mishnayos and Shabbos, the Mishnah will say, Hamotzi substance X. If you need it to feed your behema, it's this shear. And if you need it to burn, it's that shear. And if you need it to clean the karkup, it's this shear. Right? In other words, you have different shearim. But the bottom line is, even if you do the minimal shear, it should be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayiv, even though your intent was for a larger amount, because it's a malach she'in tzuch l'gufa, which you're chayiv on. Right? In other words, cutting 1x of this grass would be a malacha of kotzer if my intent were for cleaning up the karka. If my intent were to feed my goat, I would need to cut 2x. So let's say my intent is to feed my goat and I only cut x. But yeah, but it is a malacha with respect to if I'm cutting to clean up the karka. I see you're puzzled. So that's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. See, chayv according to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, that's the Gemara's question exactly here, really. Right? The Gemara says that Tolesh, you know, Malaket Asavama, Tolesh Ulshin. So basically, the Gemara wants to know that you're always Miyapit the Karka. It's a little, you could argue this is a, I mean, it's really not any difference. The Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, Michael.
So, you're saying there's really two different Malachos. There's Koser.
Yeah, but the problem, that's in effect what sounds like being said, but it doesn't really, that doesn't, formulation doesn't even solve the problem because, so fine, no, the Chofer Guma Vein Sarach El Afra, it's called the Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, and if it weren't for the fact that it's Makalkel, even Rabbi Yehuda would have been Mechayiv. So the point is, clearly, there's digging a hole, and then there's Choresh. But the fact is, when you dig a hole, that could be part of the process of Choresh. And nonetheless, or Yehuda's Mechayiv, we don't say, well, there's digging a hole, there's Choresh, and when your purpose is for Choresh, so you're not Chayiv if you don't need the dirt, the hole. No, the point is that that's called the Malach Shein Tzricha. When you do the identical Malacha, but you do it with a different agenda in mind, so that's what Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is. So apparently, well, yes, Asi?
Isn't this taking a step further? Is it possible that the intention that you have while you're doing something changes the meaning of your action?
But why would Rabbi Yehuda be mechayev on chofer guma if it were misakein?
Because it's not the difference between chorish A and chorish B. Right? It's the difference between makalkel and chorish, which is halacha and which isn't. But once you've already brought yourself into the realm of malacha, when you're already saying this is an act of kotzer, but it's not. Active kotzer A, it's active kotzer B, that changes what you're doing and maybe takes it out of the realm of malacha shein tzricha legufa. Because you're not, when you do kotzer with the intention to do kotzer for your, to feed your goat, when you don't do a full shear,
haven't done kotzer, and you can't say that since it would have been a full shear if you were intending to meet up at the karka, or say a better example, if you were intending to lose the smaller share.
Could you pick any shear? Kosher, who?
The other action. There's meat up at the karka, there's feeding your animal, and there's the third.
I made something up. I'm not married. You know, you have to look. It's a lavashel beta, lavashel.
Right, so lavashel.
If it was wood.
Once you're not, you have explicit intention for this to be the malacha of kotzer for the purpose of feeding your animal and not for cooking. Somehow takes it out of the
realm. You see, what you're saying is, even though I don't understand this, it's just words, is that the intention of doing a malacha is mafkia a different shem malacha. The intention of doing something that's mutter, namely chofer gumar tzach la'afra, is not mafkia the shem malacha from it. Yeah, but why? That's what you. I'm just reformulating what you said. You know, it sounds nice, but why should that make a difference? If the bottom line is you did the malacha, and Rabbi Yehuda's mechayev even when you do the malacha for a different purpose. Okay, so you could argue that the purpose of malacha, and I don't do enough, is dominating, whereas a purpose of a non-malacha is not dominating to color the action. Therefore, we just look at the malacha. Okay, I don't really fully understand, but anyway, yes. Why should I?
If you're saying you then you're not going to be high for anything, even though you did the action already. So here you did the action of kosher, but not for the regular thing. You're not using it for.
Rabbi Shimon, I understand why you're potter. In other words, if I did the malacha of cutting a kol shehu, which is miyapa the karka, but I don't need it for that. I don't need that interest in that result. I need to feed it to my goat. And if I'm feeding my goat, I'm not chayiv. I'm feeding it to my goat because I don't have a shear. So the only question is, what about the purpose for which it would have been a malacha, which I didn't do it for? So that's a malacha shentri for the goof. That I understand why you're potter. I cut this grass to feed my goat, not to straighten out the karka. It happens to be the male of the karka gets straightened out, so I could see calling that a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. As I did a malacha being the yap of the karka, which is shira b'chol shu, but I wasn't interested in that. I was interested in a different result, feeding it to my goat.
This is your chayav. Just a different shear.
No, I'm chayav if I... Feeding it to... No, because for Rabbi Shimon, there are multiple tzrich l'gufas here. You know, sometimes in the Mishkan they cut grass to feed it to the calves, and sometimes apparently they, or it's maybe a toldah, that you cut grass to be miyapa the karka. All those are called tzricha legufa, but you're not, if there were no, let's say it wasn't miyapa the karka somehow. Let's pretend somehow you did it in a way that it was enonika. You cut one grass here and one grass there, and it contributed nothing to you by karka. Okay, so the only potential malacha involved is if you feed it enough to your goat, if you cut enough to feed to your goat. You have to cut how much? Pick a shear, whatever it is. If you know, kim lo pi gdi. So in such a case, if you don't do the shear, you haven't done a malacha shleima.
So how come digging and kneading the sand is not the same? They never.
So you did a full shear there. The only issue is why did you do it?
For the sand,
not to the hole. So that's ainat tzricha legufa. Here, what I'm asking is the ainat tzricha legufa here you should be chayav on is the smallest shear. In other words, I cut half a pihagidi. The mitzad cutting for the pihagidi, I didn't do the malacha. Oh, but I also did cut a kol shehu in the process, which was miyapa the karka. That's not why I cut it, but I did. So in the process of doing this, I did a malacha, but it's not tzricha legufa. I wasn't interested in cutting this kol shehu for the purposes of miyapa the karka. I was interested in cutting it for my gidi. That should be a malacha shen tzricha legufa, and you should be potter only according to Rabbi Shimon.
What I'm asking is on the site, on why you're chayav if you're doing it for the behemoth, you're not chayav if you're doing it to get the sand.
No, because doing it for the behemoth was a use that was found in the Mishkan, let's say.
Doing it for the sand?
No, it was not. The point is, they didn't dig holes to have the dirt, they dug holes to be choresh. You know. Yes, that is the point. I'm using Tosis's model, tzricha legufa means defined by Mishkan, but yes. Point is that cutting for Yehudi is tzricha legufa, cutting it, digging a hole for the sand is not called tzricha legufa. Tzricha legufa is the hole. So now, And here, of course, the Gemara blurs the lines between Melacha Shnei Tzricha Legufa and Psik Reisha. The Gemara says as follows. Rab Rabbi Yosef Dami Tavayu Ba'agam Shanu? In the middle of a swamp. So there, Yipui Karka is not Shayach. Why? So Rashi writes, Ein Tzarach Liapos. I don't think that's what they mean. I think what they mean is that there's actually not an object. In Agam, it's not that there's no Yipui Karka. It's just that you don't need it. So I think what the Gemara means, this is what Rashi means. I think what the Gemara means is that it's objectively speaking not tikkun. That's when I pull up grass from your lawn, grass from your garden, so you see yipui karka. When you pull up grass in a swamp, nobody needs it, and therefore it's not tikkun anymore.
Okay. Doesn't that mean there's no yipui karka?
There's no yipui karka, and all that's left is
because it's not needed. It's the same thing. Almost.
No. Sometimes you don't need something in particular. You may not use it, but it's still objectively a malacha. But here I think the point is that because you want to argue that. You could argue that if it's not needed, therefore it's not called the yipui, objectively. Does anyone know a parallel for this? Important Gemara in Sukkah.
The Hadassim
case, mm-hmm. Right? The Maskanas HaGemara there is that the Gemara wants to know how you can malachi the anavim from the Hadassim, right? We just passed Sukkah. So if the olim are merubim me anavav, kasher, anava muruba me, alav is pasul. So what do you do? You malaki the anavim? You're not allowed to do on yantav. It seems to be a tikkun manah. So the Gemara asked a question, the source that seems to permit it, and the answer to the Gemara is, the islei hoshana achrisi. So what does that mean, islei hoshana achrisi? But it's still a psik reishis. It's a psik reishis delichama. So you could say it's psik reishis delawich paslai. Ah, so you might argue, as Rashi says there, that's not even called tikkun manah anymore. And if you want something of a raya in that vein, what if I'm a malakeh the anavim on Tu B'Shvat from the hadas? Is that a malacha? A Tu B'Shvat? Assuming, can Tu B'Shvat come out on Shabbos? I don't know. You got to be a calendarical feat. Okay, so Tu B'Shvat comes out on Shabbos. So you malakeh the anavim. Any Shabbos except around the time of Sukkot, where you might be able to use the hadas. Okay, or yantav. Let's say. I mean, that's really the case of yantav.
Would it be
a tikkun manah if you malakeh the anavim?
No.
What tikkun manah is there? What difference does it make? So you pluck the berries off to eat them. It's detached from the ground. So why would you think that that's a malacha? So the answer is the only reason it's a malacha, it's only called tikkun manah if you actually need it. If you don't need it, then you haven't done anything. Right? You could just as well have cut off leaves and it wouldn't make any difference to you. Okay. Back of the patish. The ambiguous amorphous malacha. So the Gemara says here what? So ba'agam shana. So ba'ya amar afilu tema besada, where there is objectively tikkun the lav agam uchagon the loka machaven. If he has no kavana to be miyapa the karka. So the Gemara says, "Abaye, Rav Nami Tavaye, Mother Rav Shim Sekve Shul Yamos." If you asked me, I would have said, "This is Abaye Kodem Chazara." Right? Abaye originally didn't know of it. All right, fine. But anyway, so the Gemara's kasha could simply be that Labasha Chazara. What would Abaye say? So the Gemara says that it's not a problem here. Lo Tzricha the Ovid the Ara the Chavrei. He's doing it in somebody else's karka, not in his own. So let me ask the following question. Firstly, is this mutter or pater? Is it mutter or pater? That clearly the Gemara says a coin from Mishim Yinal Chayiv. Is it mutter or pater? From the sugya? Malakeh Asavim? No, it's definitely Asar. Right. In other words, if you don't do a shear for the gebi, it's still Asar. Now, let me tell you, the Gemara never says it's mutter. Let's put it that way. It never says that the action is mutter. This is all a post facto statement. Let you chay of a potter. But certainly the Gemara never. So maybe it's mutter. But the Gemara certainly never says that it's mutter. So what kind of a psik reisha is this? Obviously the Gemara says a psik reisha and says kavod ba'ar the chavrei. So what does that mean? It's a psik reisha. So nichalei, or even better, I would argue, it's a psik reisha do alich paslay.
Is that just a better name for it, or is there actually that?
Sure, there's an afkamina. What's an afkamina between? I mean, what's the difference? Afkamina, ayo? I'm sorry, Shalga.
Are you thinking the last verses where the one
Right. In other words, one could distinguish Rashi associates so himself in different places in Shas. On Ayin Hey and Aleph, Rashi writes by the Potzeh Chilazon, or Tzad Chilazon of Potzo. Rashi writes there that a psik ratio de lo nich ichpaslei yuchayev, only a psik ratio dafka de lo nichalei yipater. And that, by the way, how could one explain the svara in that? What's the Aaron? How so? Let's flesh it out.
If you're kind of neutral about it, you might have doubts, whereas if it's really like nasty for you, or something you don't.
Okay, so one could argue, understand very easily why I'm sick, Rishad, the whole ich basleis. I don't care one way or the other, but I know A is going to lead to B, and therefore, ain't a miscaving, can miscaving, dami. But when it's a sick, Rishad, the lonely hole, it's something I actively do not want, it's detrimental to my cause. So then I can more easily see why you say Psikrisha the Lichalev would be Kaina Miskavin, even though you know what's going to happen. Okay. I'm sorry?
That's just a machine that's a sure test whether a person can plausibly time. It's like to get around Harama.
No, but in this case it's on a Daraisa level. Mm-hmm. Those, what is the person's subconscious intent? Right? So I can faster argue that the lo nichalei is going to be mutter because the person really doesn't want it. We know he doesn't want it. You know, why Rabbi Yehuda does not mock that?
The lo nichalei we say is because, well,
yeah, I don't care, but hey, what's so bad?
You probably do care. Saying we don't trust lo
nichalei. Okay.
Is that?
No, it means that since it's not you personally, it means since the action itself is not inherently bad, it's not lo nichalei, you know, it's fine. I mean, it's not a big deal one way or the other. You know, it's the karka shechavero. You know, the truth is, what does it mean? Let's low ichpasle. It means what? There's certainly no. I'm certainly not unhappy in the slightest kihuza. Right? Do I benefit from it? No, not really. I mean, in the broader sense, it's good for humanity. If it's a happier world, it's a nicer place. Yeah, okay. But so one, the Gemara here appears to be stating, according to Rabbi Shimon, that psik reisha dol ichpasle is also not chayif. Pater mutter, I don't know, but not chayif. And certainly psik reisha de lo nichalei. Now, Tosfos here has a comment. I asked you to look at this Tosfos. Tosfos has a machlokas here between the Aruch and themselves as to whether psik reisha de lo nichalei is mutter. So what's an example of a psik reisha de lo nichalei? So Tosfos quotes the famous Mishnah Eidios Shlosha Dvarim Amru Lefnei Rabbi Yishmael Velo Omar Bahen Lo Isa Velo Heter Upirshon Rabbi Yeshua Ben Masya. And what are they? Hamafis Mursa B'Shabbos Im Lasos La Pechayiv. The Tosefta says Giderach Sheharofen Osin Vim Lahotzi Mimen Aleich HaPater Hatzad Nachash. So what is the Lashon here? Imkim Miskavein Chayev, v'im kimisasei shelo yishchenu, is potter. And finally, I forget the last one. The lafasan ironius. Okay, not relevant to Shabbos. So let's talk about mafis morsa here. What is mafis morsa? Michael.
Like lancing a boil or something like that. Oh,
yeah, but that's not. I don't know if lancing is the term you want. What is lancing, by the way? What is a lance? Sharp, right. I definitely not lancing, that's for sure. So, absolutely not blixting. Absolutely not. What does mafis mean, probably? What? No, you're all giving contextual translations. No. It probably means to press. What happens when you have a pus-laden pimple, call it, wound, and you press it, what happens? The pus oozes out, usually through an opening. Okay? Or an opening is created. Very important to draw that distinction. You are not lancing a boil. You are not taking an instrument and cutting open the thing. Someone will tell me later why. Now, why is this a problem? What's the malach involved?
Oh, yeah.
Bona, maybe.
Lafaro could.
Okay. No, Hovel's only going to be if it's blood. Okay, now you do sometimes get blood as well, but it depends. Depends how hard and long you press. When you initially press, typically you don't get any blood. If you have enough pus there, you know, in later stages you get it mixed. By the way, what is pus? Castor's not here. Yeah, it's the white blood cells accumulated at the site of an infection. That's all it is. In an odd sense, Chazal didn't understand that. One could have questioned, is that called blood? But it's not. We don't treat it as blood. Physicians probably don't either. But it's an intense concentration of white blood cells. Okay, dead blood cells would probably also, if they were red, we'd probably treat as, if they were in a liquid form, we'd probably treat them.
Is it good to keep it there, or is it not good to keep it there?
What's that?
Is pus good to keep it there or not?
I suspect once they're dead, it accomplishes nothing. They're being there, and if it relieves the pain, then...
Scratching off the scab would also be...
Not for the scab, the bleeding that comes afterwards, yeah.
No, there's no bleeding and scratching off the scab.
No, it's not going
to... Red blood cells.
No, it's not liquid anymore, though. I purposely formulated it that way.
I have
done. I don't want to get it. Whatever. Okay. So, anyway. So, Mafis Morsa. So, what is this? It's one of two things. So, why? So is Mafis Morsa Mutter or... So, assuming it's creating a Pesach. In Lasos LaPechayev. It creates a Pesach. The intent of the mission is, what was your intent? So, let me ask you a question. Is it... The Mishnah says that it's that the Hotzi Men Alecha is Pater. If you want to remove Pas, it's Pater. Is that Pater or Mutter?
It sounds like it's Mutter at all.
Guys, come on. You guys sound like people have never seen a Gemara Shabbos.
Because of Sarah the Gufa.
Whoa, now, Wolf, you made a mistake there because you just introduced Sarah the Gufa, which is Tosis's idea. But you see, it's so easy to lose sight of what the Gemara says and what the Rishonim say.
The Gemara says, the Gemara seems to say,
this is one of the three things of Shmuel. Kolb Torei the Shabbos, Pata'as, or Chutz Mihani Tlas. Okay, let me ask you a question. Does anyone remember... This is my favorite part of the Sukkah, even though this has really nothing to do with the Lamedus or nothing to do with anything. How did they know that it was Mutter? Tosis makes a big deal about Sarah the Gufa. Gemara never, ever introduces that as the rationale. The Gemara, in fact, never introduces a rationale. The Gemara, but how does the Gemara know that it's Mutter? I love this.
In the case of the Machat
Shoyad Lito Boas Akot. That's great. I think it's Givaldic. You read that Gemara and you just pass, and if you don't think carefully the Gemara and you don't bother really think about what the Gemara's Raya is, you should be less scratching your head. What exactly was the Raya? The Mishnah, the laws of Muksa, Kalim Shemalachim Lister, says that it's Mutter to be without of Kli X for Y, and it says Mahachaya Lito Boas Akots. What happens when you pull a thorn out or a splinter out, really? You might bleed sometimes. You don't always. You might bleed, and you also leave a pesach because the splinter has to get out. Now you're not actually.
It made one to get in.
What's that?
It made one to get in.
Yeah, but that may have closed up again.
Is that the assumption you want?
I think so. I think that's the assumption behind the raya. So what are you doing? You're pulling a splinter out, and in the process, it makes a pesach. You're not creating a pesach. I mean, you're not making a pesach and then taking the splinter out. You're basically getting the splinter out. And in the process, maybe widening a Pesach, perhaps, which is closed over it. So the fact that the Mishnah says that the Machat Shel Yad is mutter to take for that purpose, it means that purpose is also mutter, which means Netilas Kotz is mutter. Why? So the Mishnah doesn't say there. It just clearly it's mutter. So that's the Gemara Shmuel's Raya, the Gemara's Raya to Shmuel, that Mafis Mursa is mutter. So let me ask a question. Are you creating a Pesach? In the process, when you mafis mursa,
no,
vaday. When the pus oozes out, it's gonna. It normally what happens is somewhere, you know, I can't tell you which spot. Somewhere in the middle, let's say of that pimple or that whatever it is, you know, a blown up thing. Somewhere in the middle there, you got a break in the skin, and the pus just, you know, take a balloon and fill it with water. Don't throw it on anybody, please. Press it, put enough pressure, and what happens? In one place, the balloon bursts and the water comes out. That is the basic principle. So, Mafis Mursa creates a Pesach. So it's one of two things here. So why is it Mutter, in fact? Why are you not Chayiv? So what does the Gemara say? Michael.
It's mutter if you're not mis, not if your kavana isn't to make.
No, that's the mission abius. Why is it mutter though? If memela you're making a pesach, so the Gemara on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis says what? No. No, that's when you do that biyadayim, that's considered, you're not making the pesach biyadayim, but it still should be a psik ratio. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, you should have read this. And Michael, you want to read it? Man Tana, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav.
Man Tana, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Rabbi Shimon, he did Amar Malach Hashem and Tricha Lagufa, Pater Alaha.
He says, who says that if you tzad these shvatim with tzorach because you need them, you chay, if not, you potter. It's Rabbi Yehu, it's Rabbi Shimon, says, Lachshan Tzichu Gufa, you potter. Ika.
Ika demasin laha. Hamafis morsa v'shalos. Im lasos la pechay, im lahoti mimen alecha potter.
So, Mantana.
Mantana, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Rabbi Shimon hid. The Amar Malacha Shein Tzricha Lagufa, potter alaha.
So, why is this a Malacha Shein Tzricha Lagufa? Because normally you make a Pesach in order lahotzi lahachnis. You want to put air in there. You want to do something. You want to clean out. You know, perhaps, you know, take an instrument and clean out the wound or something like that. Here you're not interested in that. You just want to get the pas out. You're not interested in making a Pesach to use the Pesach beyond when the pas oozes out. As far as you are concerned, the pas could ooze out and reseal immediately, and it can never have been an open door, and you'd be just as happy. So that's why he says you're potter because, and perhaps mutnam, because the malach shein tzricha gufa according to Rabbi Shimon. And finally, the last case.
V'ika demasin la'aha, hatzad nachash b'shabas, im isasek bo shalo yishchenu, shalo yishchenu potter, im l'rufuah chayav.
Okay, that is then l'rufuah, okay, made up in the scouting part. So, misasek bo shalo yishchenu, it's a very interesting language, no? What's odd about the language? Misasek, it's very strange, no? Okay, so Mantana.
Mantana, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Rabbi Shimon hid. Amar Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, patur alaha.
Fine. So let me ask. So, according to the Gemara, why is Mafis Mursa B'Shabbos patur and perhaps mutter? What do you have to assume in order to be matur it?
That you don't need the door.
You have to assume that a malacha shein tzricha legufa is mutter, minat Torah, pater avalasa, like Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So let me ask you a question before we come back for a moment to the Aruch. What is the Rambam pasuk about malacha shein tzricha legufa? Chayev or pater?
Chayev.
What is the Rambam pasuk legabe mafis morsa? Mutter. And what does he pass in the Gabe? Tzad nachash lo yishchenu. Mutter. Is there a problem here? You better believe it. You better believe it. In fact, a little detail here. What does Rav hold by Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa? Mistama he holds potter, based upon this Gemara. Anyone know what he holds by Deva she'ena miskaven? Like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon? It's a Gemara by Mamad Likin, which I believe is explicit on this point. Strange Gemara. It's like an Amora starts quoting, speaking the language of a Brisa. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. What does Shmuel hold by Malach Hashem and Tzvich HaLegufa? Anyone know? Shmuel, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So let me ask you a question. How could why did the Rambam paskin that Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayev, but Mafis Mursa and Tzad Nachash is Mutter? The answer is because Shmuel paskin that way. Right? Because Shmuel said, Kol Hani Peturi de Shabbos, Pater Avalasar, Chutz Mehani Plus, and one of them was Mafis Mursa and one of them was Tzad Nachash. So according to Shmuel, what's going on? So Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, Yechayev Allah. The Gemara says you're only pater because of Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. So the reason why the Rambam paskin the way he did is because Shmuel paskin that way. The question is, how could Shmuel paskin that way? To that we shall return. Okay, but now that we've spoken about what Mafis Mursa is, so here's an important point. Does the Gemara say it's mutter only because it's tzara the gufa?
No.
Gemara says it's mutter. Why is that? You could say it's only because tzara the gufa, because after all, malach hashen tzricha le gufa is only pater normally. It's pater avalaser. So maybe you still have to explain why in this case, according to Rav, is it mutter? So there you maybe have to say tzara the gufa. But we have to decide some other issues within Mathis Morsa, okay? Because what Tosa says is not totally compelling. Okay. Let's talk about another sugya before we...
So we're just saying now we're at the point where it's not most often said in Chinese, but we're converted
to Mathis Morsa. Yes. I mean, the Gemara never says it. That's my point. The Gemara never says why it's mutter. It never says why it's mutter. It's... The Gemara explains to you why you're not chayiv on it, namely, it's a malach shein tzricha legufa. So, what the Baal Yatosos on Daf Gilma and Aleph, with respect to Shmuel's question on Shmuel, Shmuel says, called three of the Shabbos, Pater Avalasar, except for these three, which are mutter, Mafis and Mursa included. How does Shmuel deal with the fact that he holds a malach shein tzricha of his chayiv? So, the Baal Yatosos say that Leilo Svirla, he's telling you, he doesn't hold that way, because he says that Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Shema, and he passes like Rabbi Huda, and therefore he doesn't hold of the din, but he's explained to you that if you do hold of Rabbi Shimon, in that case you would hold mutter. So say the Baal Yatosos. That's nice for them, but the Rambam can't use that answer. Why not? Because the Rambam is one person who passed to end a contradictory issue. Right? The Shmuel could say, Tosus claims that Shmuel doesn't hold of it. But the Rambam himself holds a bow. So that's a problem. That's a problem. So what's the answer? Does everybody see the problem? The Gemara in Kosayin Amud Beis says that the only reason why Mafis Mursa is Pater. Pater or Mutter, I don't care which one. Is because of Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa, which means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not Pater or Mafis Morsa, you're Chayiv. Because if it's only Pater because of Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa, so when, if you hold Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayiv, as the Rambam does, then you hold a Mafis Morsa is Chayiv. Any thoughts? Has anybody ever learned this from Chaim, by the way?
Wow, 3 years.
I think, by the way, Reb Chaim is probably not correct within his intent of the Rambam, but what he says is ingenious, and it's probably a correct svara anyway, just not within the Rambam necessarily. This is not to say many other pieces of Chaim aren't brilliant, but this is one of the pieces you look at and say, how'd you miss it? All right, so let's talk a little bit more about background, and we'll give the Magen Mishnah's Teretz, and I will give you perhaps. Maybe we'll stop a couple minutes early. I know I never end up actually ending a couple minutes early, but at least I intend to. And maybe you'll have a chance to read Reb Chaim on your own. We'll do a little setup, but then I'm going to let you read it and so you can enjoy Reb Chaim, because it's truly enjoyable. Dover She'inu Miskaven. According to Rabbi Shimon, I know what we can do. Let's look at the Chilazon Gemara, Ein Heim and Aleph. Turn your attention to Ein Heim and Aleph. Hatzad Svi, Tana Rabbanon, who is reading for me? Hatzad Svi. So what do?
So you trap a Chilazon and then you crush it to get up and die.
What is a... Chilazon today, they think. Is it? It's a snail?
It's truculent. Yeah, it's a shellfish.
Sounds from the Gemara like it's a fish, no? I mean, something like, something...
Back then they call everything a fish, didn't
they? When we say, if you have a snail on the ground, and you're walking, and you find yourself, and then you find yourself standing right next to a snail, in the middle of a large concrete surface.
And a fish.
Is that Seda if you pick it up? And what if you reach down your hand in shallow water and you just picked it up? The thing can hardly move. Is that called Seda?
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
Why not? I order a fly that's flying. I catch it in my hands.
A fly's not easy to catch. You understand that a fly, when you're standing in the room and the fly's in the room.
Okay,
one day I'll tell you my famous fly story. Okay? I can do dating advice. Don't hang up on your girlfriend in order to go kill a fly. Okay? She still married me, but I don't advise doing that. Let the fly buzz around. So anyway, a fly is mechusar tzeda, right? It requires a meisa to catch it. A snail?
Oh, what about a cat?
Cat's not easy to catch it, but if you're in a room with a cat, if you find yourself, you wake up, and a cat came in through the door and accidentally hit the doorstop, and it closed on its own, and you're in a room that's 2 feet by 3 feet with a cat, and no place to go up, that's not tzeda anymore, because the cat is namuch so tzeda. You weren't set it there. I agree, but I think, I wonder also if you have a cat that's lame, and it's lying there on the floor. What's that? I'm just grappling for. I'm not going to, belabor this point. I'm just grappling for what is the tzeda defined. Is normally defined as moving an animal from a mechusar tzeda state to a non-mechusar tzeda state, right? In other words, when an animal is free to roam and you restrict it sufficiently, when you can grab it in one run, right? That's one of the definitions in the sugi of tzeda and whatever that parak is that has tzadzvi at the end of it, oreg I think. That's the definition of tzeda. I don't know what exactly is the definition by something that can hardly move and can hardly get away. Right, that's why I said, if you're standing in a lot, if you're standing in Yerushalayim, and then you run down to the sea and you grab your Myrix trunculus, right, and you grab it, so you could say that that's going there with tzeda. That's why I purposely said, let's say you go into the water for a walk, and you see right next to your foot is now all of a sudden you notice a snail. Is that tzeda picking it up? Okay, but when you're standing next to it, is it mechusar tzeda? I don't know. We'll have to talk. Fine. So anyway, that's inside issue. I'm sorry. I'm very distractible because I like learning Gemara, not just doing ideas. But we have to go get back to the ideas here, Mikhail.
Well, in Beta, it said Ein Son
and Dug and then a dog. Yeah, a dog. But if the beaver is small enough.
No.
You're wrong, Bernstein, on this. If the beaver is small enough. Small enough probably where you can just reach down and scoop it out, that's not tzeda. The bibaron has to be big enough. That's what the whole sugya is about. Lo kol habibaron shavin. That's the Mishnah.
Maybe this is a fast snail.
Perhaps. See, if it were a fish, I'd understand it more. I also don't understand. I thought everything... Snails are not kosher, correct?
No.
Right, they're like copepods. Right, snails are not kosher, so... I don't understand. I thought that they must talk. I know they talk about this question. I just don't know offhand. I thought the only things that were hushal l'malach shemayim were behemah tahora, things that are tahor, fish tahor. You know. Okay. Anyway, whatever. Ayo.
If I pick up like a dog, if I just pick it up, then I'm higher for tzeda.
A domesticated dog?
Yeah.
That domesticated dog is not. It's not my definition. It's not mechusar tzeda. It doesn't run away from you.
It's roaming around.
It doesn't. If you look at the Mishnah that defines Seda, so certain kinds of species are considered nitzavomim because they're domesticated. They don't run away from you. It has to be an assumption it runs away from you, so it requires an effort to hunt it, normally. Right? So I just don't know the answer. I'm just because we read Chilas. And okay, so is it going to be more of the same, Avi? It depends on what kind of bird. That's what the. Look at the Sugi and Beitzim. They get prepared to come with different kinds of birds. And the sugya is repeated in Shabbos also, or we figured out which was the original, but I don't remember which it is anymore. Yes. Go ahead. So what do? You grab the chilazon, whatever it is, and you go flat, right? What does it look like when it actually comes out of the snail?
It's in the water or outside of the water.
In the water, it's?
In the water, it's clear. Outside the water, it's purplish.
Purplish, okay. And then, depending on how you prepare it, it either becomes our gaman or tchelas, right? Okay. Anyway, the Rajina Rav, his problem, if I'm not mistaken, was that whatever he did to it would turn everything into the right color. But okay.
Boil anything organic. think, or something like that.
Okay. And by the way, even though I don't wear tefillos at the moment, I don't think there's any great downside to wearing it. For those who don't, because even if it is Kala Ilan, since the purpose is not to deceive and untold, and it's pretty expensive, so your goal is to try to fulfill the mitzvah misafek, so it's certainly laudable. I'm waiting to the time to sit down and decide what I think really whether they're correct. So you take it, your potso, and what you get your tchelas. So you only chayav one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer chayav shtayim.
So Amrulo Imtziya B'chalal Disha. Not interested in dealing with this now. There's a very major Shina Nisach, but I don't remember what it is in the Tosefta. But when we do this Gemara, we'll come back to it. It just slips my mind at the moment. So now the Gemara says, so I understand Yechayim Yishrim Tzeda. What else? So the Gemara says, Yechayim Nami.
Amrulo. I'm sorry. Yechayim Nami Yishrim Nitzilat Misham.
When you potso.
Which you
kill
it.
So pso mes means you take your snail and you put it in a little snail aquarium, and then the snail dies. Okay, so now you take it in your potza. So there's no, if you don't hold the disha, there's no malach involved in getting the liquid out. Okay, so Rava Amar feed the he's misatzek legabe detilas neshama. What does that mean? Notice that same strain, almost, it's similar, right? Im ki misatzek ba shelo yishchenu. Misatzek hu etzel netilas neshama. It's not the same, not identical in its usage, but I think there may be actually a connection. Im misatzek hu etzel netilas neshama. Misatzek hu etzel netilas neshama. What does that mean? So the Gemara asks, v'ha.
V'ha.
Right, it's apparently easier to get the stuff out while it's still alive. Once it's dead, it's much harder to get it out. Maybe you don't even get the same amount. Okay. If it asked me, it's... No, kokama... the longer, as long as it's still alive... easy to get out the tzeva. This, by the way, suggests to me some type of blood.
It's a gland.
Does it make a difference whether it's alive or dead?
I know you they told us in the factory that they crack it open when it's still alive because the gland is still, it produces more of it.
Yeah, once it's dead, the gland doesn't work anymore.
Right.
You're not going to get any more of it. But
No, you just don't get anything.
Okay, well, anyway.
The enzyme has to still be working for you to get anything out.
Well, what happens to the substance that was in it when it was alive? Okay, anyway, I don't know. What? The Malach HaMamun Alat Chelos comes and takes it. Okay, I don't know. Fine. So, what is the Gemara talking about here? Is the Gemara talking about Misasek? No, why not?
Misasik is after the fact.
Misasik is, yes, I agree with that definition. After the fact. You did something, you didn't intend for X to happen. Here, you're pounding on the fish. Meaning, you're aware of what you're doing. You're aware that it probably is going to die in the process, even though you'd prefer it live a long and happy life until the last drop. So, this is not misasik. Misasik means I try to do X and Y happens. Here, I intend to be potato fish, and I'm potato fish. 99 out of 100 fish who in the time die. Okay, 100 out of 100 fish. It's 100 out of 100 fish. So what's going on here? So Tosis writes, go ahead, see. Hi, Misasek. Hi, the Rabbi Shimon, the Amr, Besay, Perek, Safek, Ochel. So Tosa says that Misasek is a particle of Malachas Mahasheves. So there is no din of Malachas Mahasheves. for Rabbi Shimon by Havara and Chovel. It's a sugya on Kovav. It's a very tricky sugya. So misasek here, Tosa says, doesn't mean classic misasek, but rather misasek dahacha. Go ahead. Why? So, but why? If you don't need Melachas HaShevis, why aren't you chayav on davar she'en miskaven of making a chabura, just like you chayav on makalka and you chayav on misasek? So he says. So what does Tosa say here? Why are you putter according to Rabbi Shimon? Or mutter, whatever it is. He says because the davar she'en miskaven. But you don't need Melachas HaShevis. You don't need Melachas HaShevis, so why aren't you chayav in davar she'en miskaven? So what does he say? Very, very important line. The starting point to Reb Chaim. He says, "Kemo kol yisurim shebetor delo shayach bo Melachas HaShevis." What does that line mean? And nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon holds the davar she'en miskaven being what applies to Chol HaTorah Kula, which tells you what? That the reason for the p'tur of davar she'en miskaven on Shabbos has nothing to do with Melachas HaShevis. It's the p'tur of davar she'en miskaven. Even if all the general things on Shabbos that you p'tur on, you are chayav by Melacha of Chovel, davar she'en miskaven, you're going to be p'tur on. It's going to be mutter because it's like the rest of Chol HaTorah Kula. The rest of the Torah, there's no dinner Melachas HaShevis asra Torah, and if it's not Melachas HaShevis, it's mutter min HaTorah. No, the rest of the Torah, there's no such thing as Melachas HaShevis. So that's why you're potter here. Okay, and he goes on to quote other rayas. Goes on to quote one other raya, the Gemara in Ksubos, that by Chabura on Shabbos, that it's mutter by davar she'en miskaven. Those of you who learn Ksubos, one way or the other, so are aware of that Gemara. Fine. That's one half. Notice that the reason Tosa says you're potter on davar she'en miskaven is not because of Melachas HaShevis, but because of davar she'en miskaven. Because ein miskaven lav kemiskaven dami. Now I have a question for you: is davar she'en miskaven a Melachas HaShevis or not? You're potter for Rabbi Shimon anyway. It doesn't matter.
You're being mechaven for something.
What, before you tell me the answer to that question, what's an afgamina? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. What's an afgamina whether or not davar she'en miskaven is not a Melachas HaShevis? What's that? No, we're not at the Rambam yet. You're advancing too far ahead, but yes, in theory. Avi? I don't want to touch that case. The question is, are you intending to do it that way, and will it automatically happen? But
you're trying to drag it, but it's like you don't. But you're happy that it's making the.
If doesn't Vada make furrows? If Vada makes furrows, then you're doing the malacha. The only question is maybe it's kalacha yad.
What's the question?
If Rabbi Shimon holds that davar she'en miskaven is mutter, not just potter, but mutter. Why do I care? The answer to the question of whether or not a davar she'en miskaven is called a Melachas HaShevis or not. Why do I care? Rabbi Yehuda holds that normally davar she'en miskaven is kemiskaven dami. The question is, if davar she'en miskaven, that's true b'chol haTorah kula, not just on Shabbos, but if we, Rabbi Yehuda should happen to hold, or if we hold that a davar she'en miskaven is not considered a Melachas HaShevis, then even perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would potter. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold by davar she'en miskaven on Shabbos? We know what he holds b'chol haTorah kula. What does he hold by Shabbos? Anyone know? The very famous Shita Satosis, that monster Tosis in Yom Olam Adal and Beis. And if you want to see the shorter, a much shorter version, look in Krasus Daf Chafam and Beis, I believe it is. The Gemara there, I didn't put this on the Makor, so Chaim quotes this. The Gemara there has a stira between two brises. Let's say I stoke the coals with the goal of extinguishing them. And instead, what happens in the process? They also become inflamed. I don't know what the word is. So the question, I'm chayef a kibui. The question is, am I chayef for havara or not? So there's a machlok, two anonymous brises. So the Gemara suggests several resolutions. One is a very important idea to know, even though it's not our topic now, is that this is one according to the mandamar havara lalav yatzas, and the other according to the mandamar havara lachalik yatzas. Now, that's a very important Gemara to know, because one might have had a havamina that if you hold havara lalav yatzas, that you're not chayef chatzis for it occurs, that the same thing is true for kibui. You might have assumed that, right? You figure kibui is the flip side of havara. But you see from that Gemara that it's not true. Because Yavai, according to that teretz, Yavadai chayev achatas on kibui, but the havara depends upon lalav or lachalik. And lachora, the other teruks in the Gemara don't necessarily argue with that. It's a very important piece of bikias there. I forget who points that out, but that nobody says kibui lachalik yatsas. The Ravashi's teretz in the Gemara is that... Is that huvaru me'elehen, I think was the expression. Huvaru me'elehen, and therefore it's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. It's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. And the machlokas between the brises is Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. I think that's the way it's presented. I'm sorry, I have no. What does it say? So the Gemara says, one second. The Gemara says, the Gemara says it's dependent upon Davashena Miskavet. Sorry. Davashena Miskavet. Okay. Ha Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, Tosus asked the obvious question, which is, but according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a psik reisha. It's a psik reisha. Right. You stoke the coals to extinguish them. In the process, some of them, at least temporarily, are going to be inflamed. The Tosfos says the Gemara really means Malacha Shein and Tzricha Legufa. And the Tosfos said, Tosfos is bothered by the following question, two questions, that, and number two, Tosfos says we've already demonstrated elsewhere that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Davar Shein and Miskavein on Shabbos is Pater Avalasar, because it's not a Malach Masheva. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't be Chai V'chatas. So Tosfos says, and it's also a psikration, even Rabbi Shimon's Moda Yechayev. So Tosfos says really it's a Malacha Shein and Tzricha Legufa is the issue. Right, you don't need the havara, but it's going to happen. You're doing it really for the purposes of kibbutz. That's what Tosfos says. So in light of that, we're now going to come back tomorrow and deal with the problem of the stira and the Rambam, which is really the stira and Shmuel, to try to understand why is it that the Rambam holds that malacha shein etzichul gufa is chayif, but mafis mursa and Sad Nachash, which the Gemara says, is potter, and perhaps potter only because of Malacha Shein Tzricha Lekufa, why, in fact, the Rambam Paskins like that Gemara, and he doesn't simply say, as the Balei Tosfos do, that Shmuel said you potter or mutter, but Leilo Srila, he holds that Yechayim in Daraisa, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon by Malacha Shein Tzricha Lekufa. So when you prepare and look at, please look at two things. Please look at number one, the Magen Mishnah, and number two, please look at that Rav Chaim. It's on the Mekoros. It's Yud Zayin in Hilchos Shabbos.
All these things are on the sheet you sent out.
The original one and the one I sent out. And this last stuff is sent out, that I sent out this morning, yeah.
I mean, there were a couple more parts, the one on the original.
Yeah, the original didn't have
the Rav Chaim.